Yo, what's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. We're doing a late night edition, but we're here. All my UK people should be up right now. All my folks over in the UK, shout out to my UK people. Shout out to my people over in Asia, my people over in the Middle East, over in Dubai. All those great places. How's everybody doing? Glad to have everybody tuning in. All the people late night up on the East Coast, shout out to you. Ready to chop up some good game on tonight. Show ahead to bump some of that Mink Slide because it's doing so well on the iTunes and Google charts. I'll talk about that in a minute. But what we're going to do, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. And we'll be right back right after these messages, ladies and gentlemen. Don't move a muscle.
Learn the truth about the game by joining dating and life coach Mr. Locario and Miles Cunningham live in New York City on Saturday, April 14th at the NYC Seminar and Conference Center for the Truth About the Game seminar. In this seminar, Mr. Locario will teach you exactly what you need to know to be successful with women. Space is extremely limited, so purchase your tickets today at MrLocario.com. That's MRLOCARIO.com. MrLocario.com.
What's up, family? If you are a recording artist, and I mean you're really serious about your music, then go to LegendaryMix.com for experience. No-nonsense audio engineers that can professionally mix and master your music. With almost 20 years behind the board, their expertise is unmatched. LegendaryMix.com delivers professional music mixing and mastering for a very good price with fast turnaround times. As a bonus, sign up to the email list at www.legendarymix.com and you'll receive a link to a free music marketing ebook. So don't hesitate, family. Go right now. Send a text to LegendaryMix.com at 347-565-5892 or email them at music@LegendaryMix.com. Yo, what's up, family? Go out right now and get the brand new single from Poetry entitled Get Right. Now, Get Right is available right now on iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, and all digital platforms. Follow Poetry at Poetry the God on Instagram right now. All songs are mixed and mastered by my people over at LegendaryMix.com. So be sure to get the single Get Right right now, available right now. What up, everybody? It's your boy, Crispin, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at CrispysBiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at MoorishKingdom.com.
You're now tuning into the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yo, we are back. We are back. Right here on Tariq Radio. Glad to have the family tuning in. How are you guys tonight? By the way, you guys can get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 at HiddenColorsFilm.com. And you can get the movie 1804 at 1804Movie.com, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't have the movie 1804, some of the best, most well-respected and critically acclaimed documentaries in the game and all that good stuff. Glad to have y'all up late, tuning in, chopping it up with me tonight. I wanted to go ahead and get to tonight's show and this week's show taken care of because I'm going to be very busy this week. And I'm getting ready to go out of town. I'm going to Miami. I'll be in Miami next week.
We're going to be scouting some locations out there for a new film we're going to shoot out there. This is going to be a narrative film, meaning a scripted film, a crime drama. So we're going to be shooting that out there pretty soon. And there's a part of Miami in the Miami Gardens area. They gave us the green light. We can film out there. So we're going to scout and check out the locations, and I'm going to be down there. And also I'm going to be doing some radio promotion for my group, Mink Slide. I played some of that earlier. And let me say this to the Melanoid family. Let me say this to the family. I appreciate all of you, especially my 300. Shout out to my 300. Everybody who has supported my group single, Mink Slide. You guys supported our single, our debut single, It's Time. It officially came out Monday. Tuesday. It came out yesterday. It officially came out yesterday. The song is just killing the game. It feel like it's been out longer, but no, it officially came out yesterday. And the song debuted on the iTunes charts in the top 10 on R&B singles. The song debuted in the top 10 on the R&B charts. Shout out to everybody who helped make that happen. And right now on the Google charts, right now, I'm looking at that now, and we're in the top 20 right now of best-selling R&B singles on Google Play right now. We're in the top 20. And we're going neck and neck with the majors. We're like the only independent record. We're going neck and neck. Well, like Bruno Mars, definitely. Bruno Mars has like about four or five top-selling singles in the R&B category. He's killing the game. But we're going up against Bruno Mars, Post Malone, Childish Gambino, Janelle Monáe, Tank, this brother named Khalid, not Khalid Muhammad, but Khalid, John Legend, Bruno Mars, and then us, and then The Weeknd. And we're going against the heavyweights. So I like to thank the 300 for making this happen. Shout out to Luna Star. I see you, beloved. She put some on the Melanoid Ministries. Much respect to you, Luna. I love it. There's a blessing with your name on it, Luna. And this is, family, this is why you can't worry about hate niggas. Look, when we put the single out, when we put the video out, oh, it was a shitstorm of hate niggas and coons. I played past that. I played past all that. Don't stop what you're doing because of hate niggas and coons. They always going to be hate niggas and coons. That's going to happen. You don't stop what you're doing. You don't let them coons ruffle you. You don't let them ruffle you. You keep doing what you do. This single is rising. Our single is rising. All the haters who was talking greasy, our single is rising. Our single is sitting right up there with all the major shit right now. And it's doing great overseas. That's another reason why the song is it's as popular as it is. And we haven't gotten any significant radio play. We've had some mix show DJs spin the song. And shout out to those brothers. Shout out to the mix show DJs. But we haven't gotten any radio play like that. This is all grassroots. So that's why we had to come correct with some fly shit. Shout out to London. I know a lot of my London people are up now. All my London folks get it. And again, everybody else, man, let's get this thing to number one. Everybody, if you got iTunes, if you got Google Play, get it. Go get it tonight. It's only a buck. Also, spin it on Tidal. If you got Tidal, it's on Tidal. It's on Spotify. Spin it. Play that shit all day. You dig? But much respect to the family. This just shows we don't have to go to the major corporations to get anything popping. We don't have to get approval from nobody to get it popping. Anytime we want to do something, we think that we have to get approval from those in the dominant society. And also we think we got to worry about what the coons are going to say. The minions of white supremacy. Fuck all of them. and do you. Whatever you want to do, go out there and do that shit. Let me tell you something, family. I'm going to give y'all some positive affirmations here. The secret to life is to live without fear. Other people have said that before, but you guys, if you understand that, that's what it is. You live without fear, you'll be all right. But I digress. So somebody, well, y'all asking me to address some coon that I've never heard of in the room, and I don't know who the hell y'all talking about. People asking me to address some coon. No, I don't know who the fuck you're talking about. So look, if anybody in my chat room, they're asking me to address some random coons. No, I don't have time to address individual coons. I don't have time to address individual coons. I don't know none of these people. Address them for what? Who are these people? Address who for what? I don't like when, and let me tell y'all something. Y'all get that kind of energy out your system. Where I got to address some random unknown coons. I don't know who the hell y'all talking about. And y'all shouldn't worry about that. I'm not worried about no coons. I don't give a fuck who some of these people are. There's always random niggas. There's thousands of random niggas on the internet making videos about me. Do you think I have time to sit up and address every random mushmouth nigga on the internet saying something about me? Or any random dumbass alt-lice white supremacist saying something fucked up about me? That's what they do. That's part of the game. Let them talk. They ain't gonna do shit but talk. That's why they're talking. They ain't gonna do shit. Let them talk. I don't give a fuck. We got real shit to talk about. I got other shit going on. But I digress. Shout out to everybody in Austin, Texas. All my people in Austin, Texas. I hope my people in Austin, Texas are good. I hope my people in Austin, Texas are good. There was a white supremacist There was a white supremacist terrorist out there sending bombs to people. This white supremacist terrorist was sending bombs to a lot of black people. And he's been doing this for damn near a month. He's been doing it for a few weeks, sending bombs to black people's homes and just placing the bombs on their homes. And he killed a couple of black people. And the police act like they didn't know what to do. But then this white supremacist terrorist ended up blowing up a couple of white folks. He took some package bombs down to FedEx. Some white people got injured. Then they found his ass in 48 hours. You saw how fast they found him? The minute white people got injured, all of a sudden they knew where he was. Y'all don't miss that. Do not miss that. Because that's the thing. And I said when this shit started happening, these people know, they knew who this dude was. They had an idea who he was. The thing is, when these people are somehow attacking black people, they have a very bad habit of letting it go on. When there's crimes committed against black people, it's allowed to go on and on and on and on. Because this guy wasn't no sophisticated criminal mastermind. They caught him on video going into FedEx, walking in there, taking the boxes in. So he wasn't no criminal mastermind. Wasn't hard to find this damn dude. They got cameras in streets all over the place. They could have looked at street cameras, all types of things to find out who this guy was. So they pretty much knew who he was, but they were just going to see how long he did what he did before they moved in on him, as long as the victims were black. There's no way they didn't know who this damn guy was. And all of a sudden, some white people get injured. Now they found him. Because that's the thing. Whenever something happens to us, they let it go on. Like the Atlanta child murders. I talked about that before. They let all those black kids get killed. They just let that shit go on and on and on and on and on. And then they made Wayne Williams the fall guy. Same thing with Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer was eating niggas for 10 years. They just let Jeffrey eat niggas year after year after year because most of his victims were black. But that's what it is. And the way they talk about this guy, he was troubled. He had challenges. I mean, they're real soft shoeing on this guy. They're so sympathetic with the coverage of this guy. He was so misunderstood. He was a misunderstood lone wolf bullshit. Same old, same old. Same old, same old. And there was a package out here in Leimert Park. It was a sister who received a package from Austin, Texas, with no name on it. And she wasn't expecting it. And the police, she called the police, and they had the whole police force down there in Leimert Park. So the shit is crazy. It's crazy. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. But what I want to talk about today, because I'm in that mink slide spirit, because our single is doing great, thanks to the family, I want to talk about the history of the original mink slide, because a lot of people are asking, where did we get the name of our group from? And our group, we do have a very interesting name. A lot of people want to know the history and the meaning behind the name. This is, it's a double entendre. Number one, the name sounds hella cool. A lot of folks like the name, and I like the name Mink Slide. It sounds good. The Mink Slide name represents me and my group, me and my partner Johnny. That's my sidekick in the group, Johnny D, my DJ slash dancer, real smooth dancer. He's the slide. He dances his ass off. Excellent, internationally renowned hip-hop dancer. Very good dancer. That's the slide. Now, I'm the player. Like in the video, I had the mink. The mink represents that player energy. So that's, we're playing off that. That's where the mink slide thing comes in on a surface level. That's the surface level meaning of it. But it goes deeper than that. There's always two meanings in some. Everything has dual meanings. There's always a deeper meaning. I also like that name because of an area down in Columbia, Tennessee. It was a black business area back in the 1940s called the Mink Slide. This was a black business area. Now, many of y'all have never heard about this place. And I've always had a lot of respect about the Mink Slide area of Columbia, Columbia, Tennessee. Because of the gangster nature of the black people there. And this is a story that has been hidden for years by mainstream historians. And y'all know I'm a historian and I like to dig up hidden history. And this is a very admirable history of the people down in Mink Slide, Tennessee. In 1946, there was a quote-unquote race riot. And I use the term race riot loosely. You have basically white supremacist terrorist attacks. That's basically what it is. But what happened in 1946, this is right after World War II. So you got a lot of black folks coming back home. They're veterans. They fought in the war. So black people at that time, many of them had a different mindset. They came back over here from fighting in the war, and all black people weren't on, they were not on that subservient yassa boss, yassa sud. They weren't all on that bullshit. Black people had a strict code of conduct in many places. Many black folks were not on that coonery. And a lot of black people were standing up for themselves. And whenever black people stand up for themselves, you don't hear about that. So down here in Columbia, Tennessee, there was an incident with a veteran and him and his mother. He was a black man. There was a black man, black woman, him and his mother. They were at a radio shop. It was a radio shop where the mother wanted to get her radio fixed. And you know how the white supremacists are. It was a white-owned shop. And they were being real janky with her. They were trying to raise the price and just being real funny style about this woman's radio. And they made her pay extra money to get the radio back because they sold the radio to somebody. So they were really jerking the sister around like they jerked around a lot of black folks. And they were not doing square business. And so the sister went and got her son because they were jerking the woman around about her radio and they weren't going to give her money back. So she went and got her son and the son went to the shop. And again, the son is a veteran. This black man, he's a veteran. So they were arguing. Then the argument escalated a little bit because one of the white dudes in the store, one of the assistants, looked like he was about to slap the dude's mom. And the brother was like, oh, hell no. You're not about to touch mom. You're not about to touch my mom. That ain't going to happen. This was when folks stood up for themselves. See, we got this thing where we ain't going to go back to the 1940s. No, back then, understand, you have a lot of black people who are whooping ass more so than now. Now, you let people sit up, you let these race soldiers whoop your mama's ass, and you standing there with a camera yelling world star. But this brother would not let them come at his mom sideways. So he let them know, hey, get up off my mom. You're not about to touch my mom. So as they got ready to leave the store, one of the white supremacists in the store tried to sucker punch the brother, hit him in the back of the head. That punch didn't do shit. And again, this brother was a boxer. He was a veteran and a boxer. So he, you know, this brother had, he had skills. So he turned around and started beating the brakes off this white supremacist in this store. He's whooping them. They're fighting in the store, and they both end up crashing out of the store window. I mean, it was that kind of fight where the white dude, and there's different variations. Some variations said that both of them went out the window. One variation said the white dude he was whooping went out the window, but somebody went out the damn window. So they broke the window. They're out in the street still scrapping. There's a crowd of other white supremacists around, and they tried to jump the brother while he was beating up the store guy. So the mother's standing there. She's like, oh, hell no. Y'all ain't about to jump my son. So the mother went old school. That's how the old school sisters did. She got a shard of glass and starts slicing them fucking white supremacists. So the son and the mom is out here putting in work on these white supremacists. So they both get arrested. The mother and the son get arrested. They have to pay a minimal fine, and they get released. But all the white supremacists in the area, they were like, wait a minute, hold on. These niggas are getting too damn uppity. How dare these niggas beat up a white man? No, we can't let that happen. We can't let the nigga beat up a white man. These niggas, we got to teach these niggas a lesson. So now that lynch mob talk is rumbling. And then they ended up recharging the brother. They charged him with a felony, like attempted murder, some bullshit. They did one of those I'm white and I say so charges on him. So they arrested the brother again. Now, the black community, this is where the Mink Slide community comes in. Because, again, Mink Slide was the black business district. The people in the community said, nah, we're going to have to codify and code up. We got to get this brother out of jail. So it was a black businessman bailed this brother out of jail. And the black community there, they got them out of the town. They helped get them out of town. The mother and the son, they helped get them out of town. Got it? Because these white supremacists are now talking about lynching, and what happens when they catch an L, they like to go into black communities and use that as an excuse to destroy the communities and burn them down. So what they were going to try to do to the Mink Slide area, they were going to try to turn it into another Tulsa, Oklahoma, where they destroy everything and then run the black folks out of town. But the main objective is to destroy the businesses. So what happened, the black people got on the roofs of their buildings because they heard that these white supremacists were going to come in and try to destroy the businesses. And sure enough, some of them did. Some of them tried to creep in there on the slick. They brought gasoline cans and they started to douse buildings with gasoline. And brothers on the roofs of those buildings started to bust shots at their ass. The brothers were on the roof sniping the shit out of these white supremacists. They were sniping the white supremacists, and also a couple of cops came in the black community and got shot. This is how gangster these black folks were. This is how gangster they were. So now, other white supremacists came in there trying to destroy the community, and black folks were fighting back. The black people there were not going to let them destroy the Mink Slide area. They were just not going to let them do it, because understand, these black folks were just over there in Germany fighting Hitler and the Nazis. They were over there fighting the Nazis, so they weren't going to let these white supremacists over here come at them sideways. So they're like, we'll fight the white supremacists in Germany. We'll fight the white supremacists over here too. So they got them off them. They had to call the National Guard the next day because the local white supremacists could not handle those black folks fighting them off. Black folks stood their ground. They did not let them come in there and destroy their communities. So they called the National Guard. They ended up the next day, I think it was the next day, they arrested a whole bunch of black folks and they charged about 25 black people, you know, with attempted murder, all types of I'm white and I say so charges. They put a bunch of I'm white and I say so charges on the black people there. So somebody made a call to the NAACP. And the NAACP, they sent some of the top black lawyers down there to defend them. So they send the brothers down there to defend these guys. And these were some top-notch lawyers. They knew how to make sure that the jury didn't have a bunch of Klansmen on them. They were striking jurors. So they knew how to really get as fair of a jury pool as possible. So they sent some thorough lawyers down there and they were arguing the case and they were really putting in good work. And this was making the white supremacists there really, really mad. So then 23 of the guys were found not guilty. So it was just two left. And then the two brothers who were left, they sent Thurgood Marshall down there. Thurgood Marshall, he was with the NAACP, and Thurgood Marshall ended up becoming a Supreme Court justice. Okay, so Thurgood Marshall, this was before he became a Supreme Court justice, but he was very well known. He's very well respected. He was a lawyer. So Thurgood Marshall goes down there. He argues the case. I mean, he's brilliant. He's spitting. And the law enforcement there and the community there, they're really upset now because they don't like when black lawyers come in there and make the community look bad, make the white community look bad. Just like with Johnny Cochran and the OJ thing. Just like with Johnny Cochran and the OJ thing. Same thing when during the OJ trial, when Johnny Cochran was running circles around the defense that they had for OJ or the prosecution rather. OJ started to get, I mean, Johnny Cochran started to get more death threats than OJ. So the same thing with Thurgood Marshall. He's down there arguing the case. And while he was down there, Thurgood Marshall was with another white gentleman named Harry Raymond. And the police, some plainclothes cops, pulled Thurgood Marshall and Harry Raymond over. So they got Thurgood Marshall and got him out the car and said, hey, get in this other car. We're taking you downtown. We're taking you to the station because you look like you're driving drunk. They made up some I'm white and I say so things on him, too. They did the whole I'm white and I say so. So they started driving off with Thurgood Marshall. Now, the white guy, Harry Raymond, who was with Thurgood Marshall, he was like, hey, where are they going? Because they were going the opposite way. They weren't going into town. They were going towards the woods. So the white guy was following them in the other car. He was following them. Like, where the hell are they taking Thurgood? So they're taking him in the woods because what they're going to do, they're about to lynch Thurgood Marshall. They're about to lynch the shit out of Thurgood Marshall. I mean, they're taking him to the woods in the whole nine. But it was this dude, Harry, he followed them and eventually, the white supremacists in the car ahead of him, they stopped and they were like, hey, man, what are you doing following us? And he said, hey, look, man, I know what y'all trying to do. I'm not going to let you do it. You're trying to lynch this guy and I'm just not going to let you do it. So this white dude put himself on the line. See that he had that John Brown energy. See, this lets me know if you want to show that you're not a white supremacist, you put your damn life on the line. Do some shit like that. That's the shit I respect. That's what I respect. And that dude, Harry Raymond, he thwarted, and this Harry Raymond's a white dude, he thwarted the lynching attempt on Thurgood Marshall because they were going to put his ass up in a tree. So they let him go, and basically that story and the whole thing about the Mink Slide riots, that's been buried. Because they don't like to talk about how black people stood up for themselves and said, no, you're not going to lynch us. We're not going to let you kill us. We're not going to let you disrespect us. You're not going to lynch us. You're not going to destroy our businesses. Because we'll all be capping up in here. So they don't like to talk about that. They like to show black folks walking around singing and shouting, "We shall overcome." That's the only image of us they like to show. They don't like to talk about when we took up arms and got on code against a white supremacist threat against our lives. That's the story that's inspiring to me. And I've always been inspired by that story. I've known about this for years. And forget about what you think about Thurgood Marshall. Now, Thurgood Marshall, he has done some coonish shit. He did do some little coonish, but that's neither here nor there. That's neither here nor there. But later on down the line, yeah, there was a little coon spirit there, but whatever. But I'm just saying, as far as the Mink Slide story, that showed a community of people on the same page, showing you how they can protect each other, how they can use their institutions to help each other financially, to protect people from getting harmed. This is the importance of having institutions. And because they had institutions, you couldn't have no little bitch ass snitch niggas talking about, hey, I know where they is. I show you where to find them. You couldn't have that. You didn't have all that. You didn't have that at all. So I'm very inspired by that. And this is why we need to know about these forms of history so we can keep speaking that name and speaking that energy into a new generation. That's why I like bringing up, that's why I did the movie about the Haitian Revolution, bringing up those African deities like Ogun. We're introducing a whole new generation to Ogun and Papa Legba and all of these deities that we gain strength from. Because what happens, whatever we have, whatever we put our soul into, a lot of people from the dominant society will try to get it and water it down and make it negative or make it ultra diluted where it doesn't have the same power. And they do that with music as well. And I was talking about this on Instagram Live the other day. And that's another reason why, you know, we're doing the funk soul music thing. We're doing authentic funk because the dominant society, they go out of their way to water that down. And they really started watering that soul music and R&B music down. They started trying to do that really heavily in the early 90s. Y'all remember in the early 90s what they would do? They were understanding how music gives a certain energy to people, positive or negatively. Energy gives a certain music to people. Understand, there's a reason why the NWA record was being chanted during the LA riots. All the fuck the police, all that stuff was being chanted during the LA riots. And this is why the NWA, they were getting letters from the feds and all this shit. But the music you have or the music you intake will give you a certain soul. It will give you a certain spirit. And it's very important to intake the right vibrations. I'm not trying to get extra Kundalini root chakra, but music vibrations are very important. Music vibrations are extremely important. And also music vibrations and the visuals you are getting is very important too. This is why in the early 90s, they kept trying, and they've succeeded now, but they were trying even back then to water the R&B music down, water the soul music down, because that's the thing that kind of got our minds right. That soul music, that funk music. that got our minds right. When, what's that, in the show, the movie Barbershop, I can't think if it was Barbershop 1, 2, or 3, but there was a scene where everybody was arguing in the barbershop. They were arguing in the barbershop, and what happened, somebody put on some Marvin Gaye, Got to Give It Up, then everybody just started dancing. Everybody got on the same page. Everybody put their bullshit away and just started grooving. See, that's what a lot of that soul funk music would do. That shit would just put everybody in a mindset where, let's just put all our bullshit aside and just chill and kick it. That music would make you put the bullshit away. That music would make you just kind of put your differences aside and just vibe. You understand? And those soul music fests, I grew up in a time where they would have those R&B soul music fests, and you would just have a bunch of black folks getting together, having a good time. Nobody was fighting and all that old bullshit. The fight started with when the music vibration changed, when they started having the rap concerts, and I'm not shitting on rap, but certain rap concerts with certain energy in it, when the energy became more hostile, that's when we start seeing all the fights. But the thing is, when you have certain music energy, that creates a vibe with the people. So again, they started to water that down in the early 90s. They wanted to moisten it up a little bit. This is why they would get moist groups to lip sync soul singers. That was very heavy in the early 90s with groups like Black Box, CNC Music Factory, Milli Vanilli. See, they were figuring out a way to make the music more diluted and moist then. What they did, they got a bunch of soul singers and got some real weird German dudes with some individual braids and had them lip sync the records. It was real weird. That's why black people never really gravitated towards Milli Vanilli. Because they were trying to switch up the R&B then. They were trying to redefine what R&B was. Black folks did, and Milli Vanilli was huge, but black folks knew something was wrong with this shit. Black people knew it was something wrong with this. I don't know what the fuck this is, but something ain't right with this. We used to clown Milli Vanilli. Arsenio used to clown Milli Vanilli all day. And I'm not trying to diss, because one of the brothers died. He committed suicide. And he's the black person. You know, I'm not trying to shit on the brother. But those were some weird fucking dudes. There was some weird goddamn dudes back then. And white people loved the fuck out of them. They loved them. Them dudes went quadruple platinum. They had to give their Grammy. They won Grammys. The whole shit. And they had to give the Grammys up because they weren't really singing. It was a whole big scandal. And that was a big scandal then. They would get black singers or certain singers and put other folks on top of in the video. They did that with CNC Music Factory. They had this soul singer named Martha Washington. And CNC Music Factory was really, it was two gay dudes. It was a black gay dude and a white gay dude. And I think both of them died of AIDS. But they got like this model to lip sync the shit. And then they got this kind of fake Ice-T looking dude named Freedom, who sounded like Ice-T, and he would do these moist dances. And I'm not shitting on Freedom. Freedom, I, you know, he's whatever, but he was basically like an Ice-T sounding dude. And again, they were trying to water the shit down. And then they got like Mark Wahlberg's little suspected ass, and he had the Funky Bunch, and they had a sister singing some soul on his Good Vibrations record. He had a record called Good Vibrations where he's rapping and this sister singing soul. So they were doing it then. They were putting the bullshit out then. We were rejecting it as a black culture. We rejected that. Black folks never gravitated towards that Marky Mark bullshit. We never gravitated towards that. Never did. Because see, we knew enough back then to reject bullshit. We knew, and I'm like, okay, that's cool for over there, but that ain't what we're doing. We wouldn't accept it as our shit, because they were always trying to redefine that shit as R&B, and we were like, no, No, that's not. That's something else. But good try, though. Nice little cut. If I'm in an elevator and y'all playing that bullshit, I'm not mad at you. But that's not what we're doing over here. We knew. And even with rap, they tried to do the same thing with rap. With Vanilla Ice, they kept calling him the king of rap. And the rap community, the real hip-hop community, said, no, get that bullshit out of here. That's cool for over there, but that's not what we're doing over here. That's why Vanilla Ice got his ass hung out of a damn hotel balcony and had to give up that publishing because some real black folks got in his ass. But that was the thing back then. They would try to give you a certain, that familiar soul sound, but they wanted to put another visual in front of you. They wanted you to see something else while you heard this sound, because they've always planned on ushering when they could find somebody who could match the sound and the visual. They've always looked for the great white hope or the great moist hope. They've always looked for that. They've always been looking for a Justin Timberlake or a Robin Thicke. They've always looked for that. And they got him now. They got him now. They've always tried to slip these little vultures in our mix. They've always tried to do that. They've always tried to give us these little bullshit Miley Cyruses. Back then, we were coded up enough to reject that. Now, little funky ass Miley Cyrus can come around us, shit on hip hop, try to go pop, get shitted on by the pop crowd, and then come back and we'll welcome her with open arms. That's how silly we are now and how uncoded we are. And this is how coonified we are now. Because Miley Cyrus, she shitted on hip-hop like I told y'all she would. I told y'all years ago, this whole bad girl bullshit she's doing, this is just it's a game. She's about to try to shed her good girl image, and she's going to flip. Sure enough, she flipped and distanced herself from hip-hop. And, oh, hip-hop was so bad. It was a bad influence. And she tried to go back Lily White pop. That didn't work, so now she's twerking again. And we'll welcome her ass with open arms. You dig? See, we got to get back on code and we got to start taking control of our cultures and our narratives. And this is why I thank the family for keeping in tune with that Mink Slide spirit. See, we're doing what the original Mink Slide did. We stay on code. We protect our culture. We protect what is ours. And white people who respect that and who challenge systematic racism, they are welcome to join us. You understand? Because let's go to hip hop. When people talk about hip hop and they talk about the five elements of hip hop, some people say there's six. I say there's seven. In hip-hop, the culture of hip-hop, you have breakdancing, which is b-boying. You have DJing, MCing, graffitiing. Some people say beatboxing. That's part of the hip-hop culture, beatboxing, which many people don't beatbox no more, but they still consider that part of the culture. Another one, which my brother KRS-One pointed out, fashion, hip-hop fashion, that's a part of the culture within itself. Hip-hop has a defined fashion. And also another element of hip-hop that is always overlooked, a consciousness of challenging white supremacy. That's always been in hip-hop. By definition, that was the reason hip hop got started, as a direct challenge to the way systematic white supremacy disenfranchised the blacks down in the South Bronx. There's always been a consciousness against white supremacy in hip hop. Look at the early pioneers. Hell, Afrika Bambaataa. There was always this connection to African culture. When you look at some of the early greats, Melly Mel had one of the best conscious records ever. The Message, Don't Push Me Because I'm Close to the Edge, one of the best conscious records ever. So there's always been a consciousness against systematic white supremacy, always. Because hip-hop, by definition, it was a counterculture to the disenfranchisement of systematic white supremacy. The brothers couldn't get in those white clubs in Manhattan, so they had to get their groove on in the park. The brothers couldn't go to private schools and get those music lessons no more where the white kids could get them. So the brothers would get two turntables and create music from that, or create music with their mouth, just beatbox. You understand? There's always been this answer to white supremacy. And we cannot be lost on that. And this is why, again, I appreciate the history of Mink Slide. And I like to speak that name now. So when we have our group, Mink Slide, our group is rising through the ranks. The name of the group is Rising Through the Ranks. And now the name of our group is resonating around the world. And people are not only grooving to our song, they're learning a part of history that was hidden, because whenever people look up our group, you still learn about the history of the original Mink Slide. And there's always been that consciousness in R&B. You know, the Gap Band, Charlie Wilson's early group, the Gap Band, they were named after the Tulsa riots. GAP stands for Greenwood, Archer, and Pine. That was the street of the Tulsa, Oklahoma Black Business District. So there's always been a consciousness in many R&B performers as well. But you got to know how to codify it and put it on out there and get that knowledge out there in a way that ain't going to come across extra, extra preachy sometimes. You understand? But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, family, if you do not have the Mink Slide single, the hottest single in the game right now, it's neck and neck with major label singles. If you don't have it, I advise everybody, go right now to iTunes. Purchase your single. It's only $1. Go to Google Play. Get yours. It's only 99 cents on Google Play. If you have Tidal, if you have Spotify, everybody go to Tidal and Spotify and just bump that joint. And if you got that, still get it on iTunes and get it on Google Play, ladies and gentlemen. And again, my 300, my diehards, man, I have so much love and respect for you guys for supporting the project, being true to the game, getting the word out there. I'm proud of you. I want to keep that momentum up. Man, we're working on the album now. I brought some brothers and sisters in called the Apex from Atlanta. They're a funk group, a husband and wife couple, man. Very underrated. And I'm putting them on our album. And we were cooking up some hot shit in the studio today. We were cooking it up heavy today. And that's the thing. With this album project, we're going to put a lot of other people on. There's a lot of talented people out here. And I want to help create avenues for them too. So this is why we're kind of paving the way now. There's so many talented folks out here who get overlooked because you don't, especially dudes, there's brothers who are very talented, but if you ain't got a tongue ring and some skinny jeans and some flip-flops with a rhinestone acrylic on your fucking toenail, the labels ain't fucking with you. So we want to create some avenues for players and some ladies out there who can sing, and I'm creating avenues. We're getting the shit popping. We're getting it popping on our own terms. I love that. I love when we do stuff on our own terms and it pops. That's why I love the Hidden Colors series. We did something on our own terms and it popped off. And when I started doing apps, we did video apps on our own terms. They all went to the number one spot. They popped off. We did a music single on our own terms, a whole different style, the whole shebang, put it out on our own terms, didn't get permission, and the shit shot to the top 10. We got to stay focused, family. I want to show y'all the blueprint on staying focused and being thorough. If you are thorough in anything you do and you stay focused, fuck a hater, fuck a white supremacist, fuck a coon, ain't nobody gonna stop you. If you stay focused and you stay thorough and you put your soul in something, you gonna be all right for life. Always understand that. Anyway, y'all, I'm up out of here, man. I respect y'all for staying up this late. It's a gang of y'all up this late, man. Y'all get y'all ass to sleep before y'all go to work late tomorrow. And then the white supremacists be complaining about your ass. Darnisha, you have bags under your eyes. Are you doing drugs off work hours? You know, they'll start accusing you of being on the pipe. You dig? Anyway, wait, Sarita said, get your wife to do your nails. Sarita, you talking to me? I'm looking at the chat room. What are y'all talking about in there? Somebody's talking about, get my wife to do my nails. Is she talking about me? What y'all talking about in the chat room over here? Anyway, y'all, let me get up out of here. Y'all talking crazy. All right, man. Everybody right now, who's in Zimbabwe? Shout out to Zimbabwe. I got some folks over there in Zimbabwe. Much love to Zimbabwe. I'm getting a house in Zimbabwe. That is one of my plans. I plan on getting a house in Zimbabwe. I love Zimbabwe. Again, I'm going to be in Miami next week. All my Miami people, hit me up. All my radio DJs in Miami, hit me up. Let me know what's going on so I can chop up game with you. All right, family. Y'all be good. I will holler at you on Ustream this Sunday. All right? Y'all be good.